All right, I'm going to ask Pastor Welder to come. Pastor Welder has been, this is who I consider my pastor. He's been a great friend. He's been a great help, you know, and he's ministered to me, and he's helped our church behind the scenes in a lot of ways and also through his preaching. But he's just been a blessing to me, and I'm thankful that he's here this morning. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Well, it truly is a pleasure to be with you today. You're having missions conference, and it's typical during missions conference to invite a preacher to come and be the speaker. I'm delighted to be with you, and I appreciate the opportunity. It's always good to be here. You have a theme in this missions conference, don't you? And sometimes in a conference, there'll be a theme, but none of the preaching seems to address the theme. Have you ever noticed that? But I think sometimes that the Lord puts upon the heart of the pastor the theme, and when I'm invited to preach, I'm conscious of that theme because it seems to me there's something about that theme that the Lord wants to impart to the people that are here. And so the sermon this morning is actually going to address the theme. You might be able to read it up there. It's from Ezekiel chapter 34, and it's from the first part of verse 16. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. We see an episode in the New Testament where Jesus Christ fulfills this prophecy. And we're going to talk about that episode this morning as we consider this theme. But before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us, and then we will open our scripture to the passage in the New Testament we'll read today. Father, I ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll do a wonderful work here today. Much prayer has gone into this days before now, last night and on this day. The reason that we have prayed is that we recognize it is impossible for us to accomplish what only you can do among us. Father, if there is someone here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you will help them to understand that they are a sinner in need of a Savior and that you are here to save them today. And I also pray, Father, that you will help us to understand the simplicity of salvation so that when we're speaking to somebody else who's not saved, we can have confidence that you can use us to present the gospel and bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to do these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 is not an unfamiliar passage to many of you. It's the story of a wee little man, a fellow named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was very short. I have to tell you, I don't think Zacchaeus was the shortest man in the Bible. There are some other men that were probably shorter than Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is so short, he can't see Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ is coming through Jericho. So he has to climb a tree to get a look at Jesus Christ. But in my Bible, I also read about a fellow that's Nehemiah. And there's another guy that's even shorter than him. It's Bildad the Shuhite. Yeah. And then there was another guy that fell asleep on his watch. He must certainly have been a very short man. But this is Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was a little man. And Jesus Christ is coming into Jericho, and there's a crowd that's gathered, and you know what happens If you're driving down the interstate and all of a sudden there are a lot of people braking and slowing down and there's a little bit of a congestion there, you're going to look around to see the cause. Or if you're walking downtown or in a mall area and suddenly you see people gravitating to a spot, you're going to look to see what that's about. Well, the people in this story are gravitating to the arrival of Jesus Christ. And so Zacchaeus wants to get a look, but he can't see because there are too many people there and he's a short man. And so what he does is he climbs a tree to get a look at Jesus Christ. And I want you to see what happens. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. You know, if you're concerned about it, a publican is like a tax collector, a person who receives toll and tribute. This guy was chief among the publicans, and apparently he had helped himself to a little bit of the money because he's also rich. He's a publican. He's in a public office. All right? And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. So Zacchaeus understands the direction where Jesus Christ is walking and climbs up into this tree so he can get a better look as Jesus passes by. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, that is the crowd, they all murmured, saying that he, that's Jesus Christ, was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. So if Jesus Christ is supposed to be some great religious character, which they assume him to be, they're wondering how he could associate with a man like Zacchaeus. Go be a guest at his house. That's what they're marveling about. Zacchaeus, in verse 8, during the time that Jesus Christ and Zacchaeus are together, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold, which would be the legal penalty or the legal remedy. And Jesus said unto him, verse 9, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Verse 10 is the fulfillment of this theme verse. The theme verse, Ezekiel 34:16, I will seek that which was lost. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, in the life of Zacchaeus, is the fulfillment of what Ezekiel prophesied the Lord would do in order to save that which was lost. Now, I want to clarify, at this point in Jesus' earthly ministry, he has not yet died on the cross. So when this man says, I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man, that I'm going to restore it fourfold. May I tell you something? That's not how you get saved today. Just want to make that clear. This man was a son of Abraham. He was a Jew. He was of Israel. And at this point, Jesus Christ has come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in order for this man to get right with God, he pretty much had to do what he said he was going to do. I'll explain during this sermon that for us, if we're going to be saved, right, it's going to be a little bit different, but nevertheless, salvation can come to your house if you will, right, respond to Jesus when He's seeking you. Now we'll notice in that verse, in verse 10, what does it say? The Son of Man is come to seek and to save. There's three verbs there. Is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So let's just stay with the text and stay with the episode. And the first thing I'd like to say to you is, Jesus is come. Jesus is come. Jesus is come. Now here in Luke chapter 19, this was the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand, the person speaking in Ezekiel chapter 34 is God Almighty. What He did is that He manifested Himself in a human body. That person is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. That is, a man in a man's body, and He presents Himself. He comes. Is come. So He showed up. Is come. And during His earthly ministry, He was going around from city to city in Israel trying to find His sheep that had been scattered. In this case, Zacchaeus got scattered because instead of concerning himself with eternal matters like salvation, he concerned himself with temporal matters like getting rich. Some people today are lost in their way because they're all concerned about how to get richer or how to have a career or how to have a family or how to get an education or how to find a boyfriend or how to find a girlfriend or how to buy a jet ski or how to whatever it is. We get tied up and turned around. Sometimes people are lost, have lost their way because they're following religious leaders who are leading them astray. That was the case in Ezekiel chapter 34. God had given shepherds to Israel, and these shepherds started helping themselves to the financial gains they could get from the people, and they scattered the sheep. I grew up in the Catholic Church, which was a religion, right? Some of you probably grew up in the same church. If you grew up in the same church, raise your hand. Yeah. So I grew up in that church. And what the matter was is this. I was taught that I had to do something in order to make myself acceptable to God. And if I did that well and I did it right, then I might be able to go to heaven when I die. You know, most religions are pretty much like that. I have to do something to make myself acceptable to God, and if I do it well enough, God might accept me at the end of my life and let me be with Him. You know what that is? Religions have this one thing in common. They are religions of do. Christianity is very different. Christianity is a relationship of done. Christianity is about something Christ did for us to make us acceptable to God, and we simply need to receive that. That's what He came to do. He came to Israel to help those sheep realize what the religious teachers of your day have been teaching you to do to get to me has led you astray, and I'm coming to bring you back to God. And today, you know something? That's when Jesus Christ was here in His earthly ministry. Now, He had to do something. He had to do something in order for you and me to be acceptable to God. Here's what He had to do. We sang about it today, right? He had to die. He had to die. The main reason people are lost today is in the text. The crowd said it in verse 7. Here's the problem with Zacchaeus. At the end of verse 7, he was a man that is a sinner. That's the problem. Every person in here today is a sinner, including the preacher. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're on common ground here. We're not proud of it, but it's true. You know what happened? We inherited that. You know, people talk about what you inherit from your parents genetically. This is what we inherited from our parents spiritually. We have a sin problem. You say, how do you know that? Go back with me, if we could, right now to the nursery, and you're going to see selfishness. The toy I'm playing with is mine. The toy you're playing with is mine. All the toys in the box are mine. That broken toy over in the corner, that's yours. Yeah. That's, you're going to see selfishness. Then you go to children's church and you're going to see liars. Did you break that? No. You say, where did they get that from? From you. And where'd you get it from? Your mom and daddy? Where'd they get it from? Adam and Eve. And the problem with sin is this. Sin in you will kill you. No, I love to read about nutrition and exercise. It's obvious that I try to do something to take care of this aging body. I can't do anything about the hair. You know, from your angle, it looks like I've got it, but if I pull it this way, you're going to find out there's a whole lot of it missing. It's called a comb over. Yeah. Get out of the shower, and I look like a businessman on this side and a hippie on this side. You know what that is? You know what that is? That I'm dying. I'm dying. Why? Because sin kills. The wages of sin is death. So what did Jesus Christ did? He died for you so that you can live spiritually. Watch what He did. If I were to poll around here and I were to ask you, what did Jesus Christ do? You would say, well, He died for our sins. The truth of the matter is, He died for your sins. He died for my sins. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, this is God manifest in the flesh. The Bible says God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Do you know what that means? Adultery is a sin, right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. God turned His own Son into an adulterer and charged Him with every sin of adultery as if Jesus Christ were the one that committed it, and then let Him die to pay for that sin. Murder is a sin. Thou shalt not kill. God turned Jesus Christ into a murderer and then charged Him with every murder that's ever been committed as if He was the one that killed the person and then killed him to pay for that sin. Blasphemy is a sin. When you take the name of the Lord in vain, you have violated a commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Every time a person is cussed, God turned Jesus Christ into a blasphemer, charged him as if he were the one that spoke it, and then killed him so he could pay for those sins. You understand that? I was talking to a man about 55 years old, explaining what I just explained to you. And I was in the middle of my illustration like I am right now, and I looked up and tears were coming down his cheeks. I said, "What's that for?" His voice kind of broke and he said, I never had any idea that when Jesus died for my sins, He actually became my sins and then died. I can't imagine that He would love me that much." That's what he said. But that wasn't the end of the story. You heard a song right before I came to preach about I got saved and He locked the gates of hell and threw the keys away. Jesus Christ went down into the heart of the earth, into hell for 3 nights and 3 days. But on the third day, He rose again and came out of that grave. You know why He did that? He did, well, first of all, death can't hold Him. He's God. But the reason He did that is very simple. He wants you to know that the eternal life He is offering you is real. All other religious leaders are still in their graves, not Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. So when He came to seek that which was lost, He did not only look for them in His earthly ministry, but by raising from the dead, He is still seeking the lost to save. You know something? The verse we're studying, verse 10, says, the Son of Man is come. May I tell you something? He's here right now. He's here right now. You say, "Well, I can't see Him." Neither could Zacchaeus. Yeah. Zacchaeus had to climb up into a tree to get a better look. You say, where am I going to find Him? You're going to find Him in here. You got to look. You got to look. He's in here. But you know something? The reason you can't see Him in here is now He's here, not in a physical form like He was in Zacchaeus' day, because He's now seated in heaven by the right hand of God. He's here in a spiritual way. You say, "How do you know that?" Because the Bible says, "Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst." He's here. He's here. He's right here. And you know what He's doing? He's doing the same thing now that He was doing back then. Listen, Jesus is come. That's the first point. And Jesus is seeking. That's the second point. Just what He said. The Son of Man is come to seek. Jesus is seeking. Do you understand something? I mean, get a view of what was going on in Luke chapter 19. Jesus Christ walks into Jericho, and when He arrives with whomever is with Him, the disciples and others, this big crowd forms. You know, big crowds are like chaos. Have you ever been to a stadium, for instance, where there are thousands of people? You're coming out of that and it's just chaos. So He's walking through the town and all these people are around. And so here's Jesus going along and all this big city, big crowd. And all of a sudden He stops and He looks up. And He sees one man in a tree. Do you understand? Jesus is here, and here's this crowd. Thankfully, y'all aren't in chaos. That's coming right after the sermon. And you know what? Jesus is seeking. And if there's somebody here today that is lost, He sees you. He sees you. Last weekend, I had the opportunity to preach in Idaho. there was a big crowd of people there, a lot of visitors, because this was the second Sunday for this church to be in their brand new building. I knew some of the people because I'd been to the church before, but there were a lot of people there that I didn't know. And the Lord led me to preach a salvation message, and a lady who came from the neighborhood got saved that morning. You say, how is that possible? Because Jesus is seeking. Do you understand? Jesus Christ walked into Samaria, and there's a woman at Jacob's well. He deals with individuals, not with crowds. I mean, He fed the 5,000, right? But He ran from them when they came back the next day to get some more food. The whole bunch of infirm people in John chapter 5 by the sheep market. And Jesus Christ walks in with this big crowd at the time of the Passover where there are going to be thousands of people in Jerusalem. And He finds one man and He says to her, says to the man, "Sir, wilt thou be made whole?" He picks individuals out of the crowd. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ, He'll pick you right out of the crowd, because He's seeking you. He's seeking you. You say, "Well, I'm not seeking Him." What are you doing in church today? There are 1,000 other places you could be on a Sunday morning beside here. But you chose to be here. He chose to climb a tree. Y'all are on meeting ground. If you were going to be sought by Jesus and you were going to seek Jesus, this is a really good place to find Him. Because Jesus, right, is come. He's here. And Jesus is seeking. He sees you. He sees you. Now, when He saw Zacchaeus, notice what He said in verse 5. I'll tell you, in case you've already closed your Bible, He said, "Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." It's very common today for people whom Jesus is seeking to take a long time to decide what to do with Jesus. May I tell you something? He's already decided what to do with you. He's come to seek and to save. I'll witness to people and I'll talk to them like I'm talking to you today, explaining what Jesus Christ did. And then I'll say, "What would you like to do? Would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today? Or would you like some time to think about it?" Half the time, they'll say, "I'd like some time to think about that." Okay, all right. Well, then think about it. But you know, Jesus Christ didn't give Zacchaeus any time to think about it. He said, "Make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." You know something? If Jesus Christ is here today seeking you, and He said to you, "Make haste, come down," would you? Would you? "Well, I'm among people who might say something about me." They spoke about Jesus when this transaction happened. Why would you care what anybody else thought if the Savior of the world, the Creator of the universe, singled you out of a crowd and said, "Make haste, come down, I must abide at thy house today"? Seriously? There are over 7 billion people on the face of the earth, and He's seeking me? Yes. Yeah, you. Yeah, He's seeking you. You know why? Why would He be seeking me? Because you're lost. When you're not saved, you're lost in this world. You don't get plugged in and found. You don't start seeing until you get in the right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I'm going to tell you what, things really change. Things really change. I have a radio broadcast. And years ago, I got a telephone call from a guy. I pastor a church in Corpus Christi. This fellow lived in Mathis. And he called me all excited. And I said, "Oh man, what are you excited about?" He said, "I've been having trouble with drugs and alcohol. And so I go to AA meetings and I get straightened out. And they tell me I have to trust a higher power. And so I trust whatever higher power, God as I understand Him. And then I get out and I go right back to drinking and right back to drugs again." He said, "But on your radio broadcast, I found out that the higher power has a name. His name is Jesus Christ." Here's what he said. "And when I got him on the inside, business picked up in town. I'm not drinking and I'm not doing drugs anymore." You know what God did? God found a lost man and he saved him. The Bible says the Son of Man is come to seek and to what? To save. He is come, He is seeking, and Jesus is saving. Today, the Bible says, now is the day of salvation. Do you understand, there is a work of the Spirit of God in a congregation like this that has a certain invitation and has a certain need for response and has a certain urgency. If you're here today without Christ, there's something going on in your mind and in your spirit right now where you're debating whether you should receive Jesus Christ or not. It's intense because the Spirit of God and Jesus Christ wants you to be saved. You say, "But I need time to think about this." When you walk out that door, the intensity will diminish. Because you're going to go back to whatever, like Zacchaeus was, what you've been doing. You want to seriously consider that when Jesus Christ came here to seek you, He also came here to save you. To save you. Now is the day of salvation. Now, He said to Zacchaeus, "This day is salvation come to this house." That's what He said. I grew up, I told you, in a church. When I was in college, I actually went to a Baptist church for a period of time. Missionary Nathan Means was in a doctoral study program, right? I was in the banking business. I was like Zacchaeus. I was president of a bank in Beeville. I had a Bible sitting on a shelf in my living room. You know how when you buy a Bible, the gold edge kind of makes the pages stick together? The pages were still sticking together. I'd had it for 6 years. I never opened it. It was on a Saturday night. And I said to the Lord, "You know what? I ought to be reading the Bible at least one chapter a day." That's what I said. You know what I did? I like Zacchaeus. I decided I was going to get in there, and I hope I don't break this, and get a look. I'm going to get a look. So I said to the Lord, this I really did. I pulled this Bible off and I said to the Lord, "Wherever it falls open, that's where I'll read." It fell open and I turned. It fell open to Psalm 119. You hear a few giggles? Psalm 119 has 176 verses. I'm like, "Oh man, it's midnight, Lord. I'm going to be here all night." Verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. My way was not clean. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." I had a lot of sin. And I was sinning against the Lord. But you know something? The Lord showed up. And as I began and continued reading, the Lord absolutely did in my life what He did in Zacchaeus' life so many years ago. He saved me. My life radically changed. For Zacchaeus, when he got saved, the account doesn't really discuss what they talked about, but when Zacchaeus got saved, he did works meet for repentance. He demonstrated that something had changed. He said, "I'm getting rid of half of my goods. I'm going to restore fourfold to anybody I've taken this from." My life began to change. And I'm so glad it did. May I tell you something? My wife, Lord willing, will be with us on Monday night and Tuesday night. I was driving here last night. She was flying home from Dallas. She flew over me. My wife will tell you, my husband became a better man the day God changed his life. My children will tell you, our dad became a better father the day Jesus changed his life. I'm not in the banking business anymore. I pastor a church now and have been for over 3 decades. And why is that? Jesus Christ sought me and He saved me. That doesn't mean that every person, obviously, that gets saved is going to go through the radical change I have or some of these missionaries have. But I'm going to tell you something. There's not a soul here today who's saved that would tell you they regret that Jesus Christ saved them. How many of you today right now can raise your hand and say, "I'm saved. I'm saved." All right? Amen? And then listen. How many of you that raised your hand would raise it now and say, "But I regret that He saved me. I wish He hadn't done that." Let's see. I don't see a hand. You know why? Because we like what He did to us. You know what? We were lost and now we're found. We were blind and now we see. We're saved. God showed up at your house one day and said, "Ashton, I want to save you. I'm seeking you." And then He saved us. And we got saved. I'm so thankful. Jesus is here. Did you know that? He's come. He said, "I will." He's here. And He said, "I will seek." He's seeking. If you're here today without Christ, He's seeking. Not us. You. And you know what He'll do? He said, "And save." Today, you can be saved. Let me help you to understand. Zacchaeus was already religious. He didn't need any more religion. Didn't need that. We're not talking about religion. You know what we're talking about here? A relationship with Jesus Christ whereby you have salvation. You know you have salvation. You are going to enjoy the benefits of eternal life from this moment for the rest of your life. And heaven, after this life is through. Aren't you glad you got saved? Some of you are. Aren't you glad you got saved? Aren't you glad Jesus is still in the seeking and saving business? I've got family members. I've got friends and neighbors that's still not saved. But you know something? We're seeking with Jesus that He might save them as well. I want to simply ask you this. The Lord said, "Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And then Jesus said, "This day is salvation come to this house." My question to you is, will the Lord be able to say in heaven, "This day salvation is come to you"? The choice rests with you. He's already made the choice. He wants you. He's already done everything necessary to save you. It's simply now in your court whether you will receive Jesus like Zacchaeus did. The Bible says He received Him joyfully. Will you receive Jesus Christ joyfully as your Savior today? Pastor Bez, you need to come. That question must be answered. It is either yes, I will, or no, I won't. There's no in between. If you will, receive Him today. If you won't, you're passing up the best opportunity you've been presented in your entire life. Don't pass it up. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. And Pastor Ashton is standing right over here. Okay? Do you see him? Okay? If you want to get saved, we're going to sing. And you go, and this man will take you in the office, and he'll explain things to you. He will answer your questions and show you how to get to heaven from San Antonio, Texas. Lord, please bless the invitation in Jesus' name. All right, we're going to start singing. Isaiah's coming. You step out. Just come on. We'll meet you here.